Thank you very much, Brad and Madeline. And before we got on Church Online this morning before 10 a.m., we always get on and just check our microphones and everything. And it was amazing because I had my little girl here, Nova, and then Brad and Maddie with have got Ivy in the background there. You might have heard some screams. She was just on the floor in the background behind them. And then we had Dan and Immy checking in to do their testimony with their little one, and it's just amazing. Even Mark and Lauren, who are helping produce this morning, had a baby last year in lockdown, a little girl as well, Arielle. So like little girls everywhere. It's really, really exciting. And what a great testimony from Dan and Imogen. Just the power of prayer, and not only prayer, but just the power of community, that there's someone to reach out to. When you're in times of need, you want to be able to reach out to people of faith that believe like you believe, and they're going to help point you to God. It's just so powerful. So this morning we're going to look at Psalm 33. And Psalm 33, this is going to be our last sermon in this famous Psalms that we've been going through. And then next week I want to move on to the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to start diving into Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But we're in our sixth lockdown here, and obviously COVID, the challenge of COVID has been going on for some time now. Yeah, I don't know if you've realized, but in the last 12 Sundays, we've only had 3 normal Sundays. Since May, we've only had 3 normal Sundays. We've had 9 online now, so it's starting to feel a lot like last year. I've got this pandemic's been going for 18 months, in and out of lockdowns. There's the vaccinations are beginning to really gain momentum as more people are getting vaccinated, but there's a lot of hesitancy there, as you would understand, and people not sure about that. And I just wanted to touch on all of that this morning. So I hope I don't push any buttons, but I want to touch on all of that this morning from using Psalm 33. And I really want to encourage you that, you know, Jesus and the calling to follow Jesus is always a higher calling. The calling to follow Jesus is always a calling to something greater. And yes, we have COVID. Yes, we have lockdowns. Yes, we have vaccinations going on. We have different views about whether we should get vaccinated or not. We have different views about whether lockdowns are good or not, whether the government has made the right decisions. We have different views about COVID and how it came about, whose fault it was, what we should do about it, what people of faith should do about it. But I want to encourage you with this psalm this morning that the calling of Jesus is always a calling to something higher, higher than debate, higher than slander, higher than governments, higher than sicknesses, higher than anxiety. And that's what's important. And as a Christian, this is something that we should be understanding, is that there's this higher calling. And if you're watching this morning and you're not a Christian, well, some of these things won't apply to you. But when you've signed up and when you've said yes to Jesus and said yes to following him, then you're bound to a higher call. And to rise higher. I'm going to explain a bit about that this morning. I'm not going to go through the whole chapter as we begin this morning, as I've done in previous messages. I'm just going to take it section by section and read verse by verse as we go through this morning. But as I'm sure you've become accustomed to, I've broken this psalm again down into 3 separate parts. So the first part here is of Psalm 33, is verse 1 to 3. And it says, "Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on a 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy." Now, I'm sure not many of you have a 10-string lyre laying around. I definitely don't have one laying around in my bedroom. But the point here is not about what music you play to God, but it's the position of your heart. You're either going to be prone to praise or prone to complain. And it's fitting, it says here in verse 1, for the upright to praise him, to praise God. And I want to ask you this morning to engage with me in this sermon by responding to this question: what are the benefits of praising God? What are the benefits of praising God? What are the payoffs of praising God? What are the benefits of looking to him first in every situation, every circumstance, even a global pandemic, one of the most challenging times that any of us have ever lived through? Let me hear you this morning. I'd love to hear what you think the benefits of praising God are. We're going to be prone to one of two things. when there's situations, there's lockdowns, there's vaccinations, there's economy issues, there's work issues. And I have great empathy for people, especially small businesses, people trying to find jobs, people trying to survive financially in this time. And I have great empathy for people outside of Australia, because here we're worried about if we're going to lose some money, lose our job. In other countries, they're worrying about whether they're going to lose their life. They don't have access to vaccines like us. They don't have access to government JobKeeper, job seeker payments like us. My heart goes out to the nations of the earth who will suffer this pandemic without vaccination, without financial support. But even then, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, do you praise or do you complain? The funny thing is, you can only focus on one thing at a time. The heart can't praise and complain in the same breath. You're either going to be prone to praise God, or you're going to be prone to complain and focus on something else other than God. Complaining takes our eyes downward. It takes our eyes to the earth. It takes our eyes to others. It takes our fingers to pointing. Praising takes our eyes upward. It puts our eyes on God no matter the situation. Lockdowns, restrictions. Maybe you think the lockdowns are some freedom fight against the government. And that's okay. That's okay. Go to a rally. It's your right to complain, to go to a rally to say that we shouldn't be locked down. That's fine. Maybe you think the lockdowns are the best decision that the government has made. But no matter what you believe or what your opinion is, you're either going to praise God or you're going to complain and point your finger at earthly things. And verse 1 tells us, it gives us an insight to the higher calling that the Christian is called to. It is fitting. It is right. It is reasonable. It is expected that a Christian, an upright person, a righteous person, a person who's been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, would give praise to God and not focus on complaint. Let's move on. Or maybe we'll hear a few responses here, because I see lots of them right here. Oh, my wife, I better mention hers. She has said, oh, she disappeared. Reminds us how big, how worthy, and how great our God is. Lisa Steinholt, while David did both throughout the Psalms, but he always returned his heart to God. This was the vaccine. So true. This is the greatest thing that can protect us. Debbie Lowe, praising God causes us to reflect on positives despite negatives. Really well said, Debbie. And there's lots of great comments here. I love it. And I'd love to see more and more and more. Because I know every time you even make the effort to comment, you are making the effort to encourage someone else here online this morning and to help somebody else focus their eyes on Jesus. You might not be in a church service together where you can say yes and amen. I can high five me after the sermon. But when you make a comment online, it encourages me and it encourages others. Let's look at the middle part of this psalm now, verse 4 to 15. There's a bunch of stuff here, and I'll read through it quickly, and then I want to highlight a few pieces. And really the point I want to make here, that we either have God's plans or we have government plans. This is the challenge for us as earthly people. There's God's plans, and then there's plans of governments and of nations and of rulers. It says in verse 4, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars, and he puts the deep into storehouses." So it's talking and reminding us that God created the universe right back in Genesis. "Let all the earth," verse 8, "fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. Let there be light and there was light. He commanded and it stood firm." Verse 10, "The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance." If you've responded to Jesus and you follow him, then you are in God's nation, his holy nation. You are part of the people that are the inheritance of God. Verse 13, as we finish, "From heaven, the Lord looks down and he sees all mankind from his dwelling place. He watches all who live on the earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything that you do. Everything that I do, God sees right to our heart and he shapes our heart. What we hear here in these verses is, first of all, it's very, very clear. The psalmist, if David's the writer of this psalm, then he's saying to us, God is dependable. God is trustworthy. His word, when he speaks, is totally and utterly trustworthy. God's character is faithful. God is all-powerful. He created the heavens. He gathered the waters into jars. He's done everything by his word and by the power of his hands. Therefore, God is to be revered. He is to be honored. He is to be lifted up on high. He is to be listened to. He is to be feared. And fear here means respect. It doesn't mean fear as in God will terrorize us, but it means respect God, his word, his absolute authority and power. Respect that he is not in this earth and bound down here, but he is outside of this world. He is transcendent. He is above. He is objective. I want to focus in here on verse 10 and 11. Because here we see the plans and the purposes of God, and we have the plans and the purposes of governments or of rulers or of leaders. Now, our government and governments all across the world, of course, have plans for COVID, how to deal with it, have plans for lockdowns. You see very different plans from China to America to Australia to countries in Africa. They have different plans for vaccinations. As I said before, many nations in the earth will not even have a plan for vaccinations because they won't get any. They have plans for their economies, for their jobs, all kinds of different things. You have an opinion on the government plans. I have an opinion on what I think the government should and shouldn't do. What I think they should have done or shouldn't have done last year. And it's okay. Use your vote. We live in an amazing country, a democracy where you can vote for the government that you like, that aligns with your values. You can join a lobby group like the ACL if you want to lobby the government to get certain things done. You can go out in the streets and protest. That's the incredible freedoms that we have in our nations. But the key is God's plans will always be true no matter what. Whether we lobby and protest or not, God's plans will be true. Whether the government has made the right choices about how they've dealt with COVID or not, the Australian government, doesn't matter. God's plans, God's purposes cannot be stopped. They cannot be overcome. The gospel will be preached. People will be drawn back to God. People will be touched. The kingdom will advance. It's okay. The important thing I want to say here, though, when it comes to governments, is that the call of Jesus is a call to something higher and greater, which means the call of Jesus is to honor our governments, is to honor our leaders and all of those in authority. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, Peter is writing to the persecuted church all around the Roman Empire. And he says to these persecuted people that live in fear of death and torture and persecution under Roman rule, he says to them, show proper respect to everyone, all the unbelievers, the pagans. He says, love the family of believers, the church, fear God, and that's what we're talking about. And he says, honor the emperor, honor the Roman rulers. Honor the leaders who are in charge. We know that the Apostle Paul says that we should honor our leaders and that everyone that God that is in authority, God has put in authority. Your opinion can be red or blue. Your opinion can be we should be doing this with lockdowns or that with vaccinations. What's key for the Christian is the greater calling. Despite our opinion, honor is expected of those that follow Jesus. Despite our opinion, not slandering government rulers, speaking well of those that are trying to navigate nations. Can you imagine being a leader in this time to navigate nations and states and communities through a difficult pandemic that no one has lived through something like this before? Honor is critical, but honor is not agreement. And that's where you get to use your vote to disagree. You get to use your right to protest to disagree. But slander is a sin, and we must be careful how we talk of those that are in authority. While we always remember that God's plans and purposes always occur, despite the rise and fall of civilizations, despite the rise and fall of governments, God's plans will occur. It's okay. As we hear right at the end here in verse 15, it's okay. God looks over all. He sees all. He sees into every single heart, Christian or not, Aussie or not. He sees into every single heart. And it is God who forms and shapes the heart. Nothing else will shape your heart. And you shouldn't let anything else shape your heart. Don't let your disappointment with this pandemic, with lockdowns, with vaccination. Don't get into vaccination debates that shape your heart, that shape your mind in a way that's resentful, in a way that produces anger. Get away from those things. Let God form your heart. He's all, God will use, God has not brought this pandemic. God does not want us to be in pain, but God will use this time. He will use the challenge of lockdown 6.0 to shape your heart. And this is my second question and final question for you today. How has God formed your heart during this pandemic? How has God formed your heart during this pandemic? We've been in it for 18 months now. And I know I haven't asked very many personal questions over the last few weeks while we've been online, because it's difficult to talk personally online, to write out there into the internet of comments and people watching this morning. But honestly, how has God formed your heart? I know for me, it's been things like patience. It's been things like prayer. I spent some time last week with our Accelerate Discipleship students, fasting, not eating. They didn't eat for 3 days. They did so well, our three students, and I joined them in that. And God has been focusing me back to the spiritual disciplines of fasting and prayer and meditation, learning to be quiet. Now, lockdown is pretty quiet. Learning to trust God for His hand moving in this time, not trust my own productivity. That's part of how God has been forming my heart. I'd love to see some comments there. Still getting some great ones about honor, which is fantastic. How's God formed your heart? If you're vulnerable enough this morning to share, Peter Ingram is forming faith in a new and tangible way. It's great. God is rearranging things. Not only is it the rearrangement of people changing jobs and people moving houses and people fixing their houses and trying to do physical, material things, people losing weight, but those things are great. Emotional things, mental health, physical things are great. But how is God forming you in your heart, in your spirit, in that really, really critical area? Michaela Jung, God has formed my heart by praying and asking Him to help me in my schoolwork. That's beautiful. Michaela's only a student. Sandra Liddell, just what I needed to hear. Thank you. It's good. God has obviously been doing a work in her. Bradley Smith, only He shapes our heart. It's so true. Don't let anything else form you. You can let resentment form you. You can let vaccination debates form you. You can let fear of getting COVID and being unwell form you. But only let God form you and shape you. It's such a great point. Brittany, our priorities have changed. It's very good. Let's finish on this morning. What a great psalm. What a great psalm. The COVID psalm, Psalm 33. This is about hope now, verse 16 to 22. Hope in horses or hope in the Lord. Now, I know we've got some Old Testament things here, but you got to take this metaphorically. Hope in horses or hope in the Lord. Hope in horses mean hopes in your own strength, hope in your car, hope in your money, hope in your job, hope in your looks, hope in earthly things, vain things, or is our hope in the Lord? Ultimately, is our hope in the Lord. And I know for me, my hope is not 100% in the Lord. Of course it's not. But I'm growing. I hope you're growing. I hope you're moving. I know I'm moving to a place where there's greater hope in the Lord. There's nothing like a pandemic to challenge our hope in the Lord. No king, verse 16, is saved by the size of their army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. Damn it, because I like my own strength. Or horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Something physical, something earthly, something you own. Something you're in control of. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine or pandemic. We wait in the hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. That's where our hope must lie. It says it so many times, in Him, in His unfailing love, in the Lord. It can't be in anything else. you know, I hate times like this where we're going through struggle as a nation, where people are struggling with anxiety. It's stressful to school kids at home. I don't want this for people. As a pastor, I hate this kind of stuff. I want people to be happy and to flourish and to be able to live out their great call in God. But what I do love about trial and tribulation, what I do love about transition in people's lives and difficult moments, is it sorts out where does your hope lie. It sorts out where is your trust. It really challenges, it exposes our faith. Are we arguing? Are we resentful? Are we getting into that? Are we holding on to our material things? Is our hope in horses, and we're holding on to those things? It sorts us out. Shows us. And even if you've erred in this way, even if you've made errors in this way, even if you've looked at yourself and gone, man, my faith is pathetic at times. This is a great challenge. This is a good thing to see yourself, to have self-awareness, spiritual awareness of where your faith is. It's a powerful thing because then you can do something about it. Never feel shame. God's purpose isn't that you feel shame and are crushed. But when there's guilt, he's there with a loving arms helping you to move forward, to grow, to mature. I got vaccinated this week. I got the AstraZeneca vaccine right in this arm, and I was sick for about 24 hours. Man, if COVID's anything close to the vaccine, then it would be a pretty horrible thing to have to go through. Obviously, it kills people. And I appreciate that people are hesitant about the vaccine and unsure about it, and that's fine. It's a health decision and it's a personal decision. Getting a vaccine or not is not a spiritual decision. It's not a decision of how close you are to Jesus or how spiritual you are, because our hope is in God. You don't need a vaccine to say to prove that you'll be okay, but you don't need to be anti-vaccine to say that you're spiritual and close to God. Our hope is in God despite that. The Christian is called to a greater calling in Jesus Christ. We don't get caught on whether vaccines are right or wrong. We don't trip over these things as mature Christians because we look to the Lord and he is above all things and we're called to something higher. It's an error to tie God to a vaccine, to tie spirituality to whether you're vaccinated or not. You can have an opinion on these things. You can have an opinion on lockdowns, on government decisions, but it's prideful and arrogant to tie God to these things. Don't allow human things, earthly things, to become your measure for your Christian success. Allow your relationship with God, which is a private relationship, a relationship forged in the place of prayer, not in arguing online or posting online about things. It's formed in the quiet place. It's formed between you and him. It's the audience of one, that he sees you, you see him, it's alone. It's even worse to claim, and I've been sad as a pastor to see that people that I've spoken to, people online, that are claiming to God's word, claim to back a vaccination, claiming to God's word to back that we should or shouldn't be in lockdown. This is using God's name in vain. It's blasphemy to tie God to these things, to tie God to these difficult times. You know, a challenging question that's come across my desk this week is, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus wear a mask? Would Jesus submit to the order to be in lockdown, the government directive? Would Jesus get a vaccine? Man, what a question. I mean, that's going to create some debate. I'm sure my inbox is already filling up with angry emails right now. But this is a great challenge to us. And when you think about this question, you know the answer. You know what Jesus would do. Jesus would always walk the higher path. Whatever's going to love his neighbor, he would do that. Whatever's going to protect someone else, he would do that. Whatever's going to create sacrifice in him for others, Jesus would do that. Whatever's going to put himself second, Jesus would do that. Whatever's going to be best for humanity and allow people to flourish and move forward in freedom, Jesus would do that. Now, you can go, well, I haven't given you anything there to say which way I lean, this way or that, but what I'm encouraging you is that Jesus will always walk the path that loves his neighbor, that honors God. He'll always walk the path that puts his second, and that's a great challenge in these times, where honoring God in everything that we do. This pandemic is a global health crisis. It's a great challenge for nations, but it's not a spiritual or a theological issue. It's something that God is calling us to fight together, not to fight against each other. This is a time for Christians to rise above, to be peacemakers in this time, to be team players. God needs you to be the steady person in your family. If you're a leader and in your workplace, it's a time to be a person that's certain, to be a person that's full of hope. to be a person that's full of faith, to be a person that's got their eyes on giving God praise, not got their eyes on complaining. Jesus' way is always a higher way. Those who put their hope in him, have confidence in him, can trust in something during uncertainty. I've never lived through something so uncertain like this pandemic, and I'm so happy that I have a God who is certain that I can put my trust in. Yes, I have many questions. Yes, you have many questions, but I don't want my hope to be found in horses. I want it to be found in the Lord. I don't want my heart to be formed and shaped by a pandemic, a lockdown, a loss, a difficulty, money, the economy. No, I want my heart to be shaped by God, who grows me in character, who develops me in the areas of my spirit, who grows me into my calling, that I can be a more effective representation of Jesus Christ and a more effective communicator of the gospel. And I hope that that is where you're getting to. I hope that that's where we're getting to together as a church, and anyone else who's joining our church family this morning. And I hope that that has encouraged you today. And in a moment, after we've heard from Brad and Madeline, I'd really love to pray for you and encourage you in this morning. I know it may have been a challenging word for some, but I really want to encourage you to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. Bless you. Right, you're back.
Great word. Great word. Thank you, Pastor Caleb. A timely word, potentially a controversial one, but when we see that Christ transcends the things of this earth, it pushes us back to praise and honor, and that is so powerful in this time. So thank you. And our comments here have blown up, so there's been lots of great comments, and it's such a perspective shifter to put our eyes fully back on Christ. And so we had some great points here. One of the things that I love, someone said here, they just reinforced one of the scriptures you read out, even as we put our hope in him. And that really summarized what you spoke for me, like even as we put our hope in him in the midst of all that's happening in our world at the moment. So if you guys have any questions or points you'd like me to bring up now, just put them in the comments here and we'll chat. But good message.
Great. Thanks, mate.
Did you have any comments that stood out that you wanted to talk about? Or I've got a few written down here that I thought I'd highlight.
No, you go for it.
Yeah. So first, I love what Caitlin spoke about when she talked about how praise reprograms our nervous system. And she talked about be transformed by the renewing of our mind in that scripture. And I think that's so true in this time, that when we push to praise and the honor of Christ, we're transformed. And I'd love you to talk into that for a second, and how that, because I think that's a key message you're coming to: be transformed, take away our frustrations with the things of this world and put our hope and our focus on him.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. The absolute priority of God is transformation. That is the reason that he sent Jesus Christ. It's to transform people, transform communities, transform cities and nations, so that they are connected back to God in heaven. So when you understand God, that's God's modus operandi. Therefore, anything that can provide God with an ability to transform a life and a heart, to transform a mentality, to transform a family, to transform, God will use it. So God doesn't cast sickness and plagues and pandemics on us, but he uses the brokenness of this world, and that's what the pandemic is. It's just part of the brokenness of this world. He uses it as an opportunity to bring transformation. So when we understand God like that, then we're focused on spiritual growth and on maturity and on helping others who don't know Jesus connect to Jesus, who is the transforming power. But the problem with us as Christians, we need to be careful to, is not to stumble over earthly things and forget the ways and the will of God, which is to bring transformation through difficult times like this lockdown. We can't trip over these earthly things, which in God's eyes he will use, but also in God's eyes, they're all passing away. This pandemic is just a moment. It's just a blip on the radar. It's just an earthly situation we find ourselves in. But as Christians, we can't trip over earthly things. We must have an eternal perspective at all times.
Yeah, so good. I love the transformation is inspiring, and that gives us hope as well that he's working. Someone said that people will be drawn back to him, and that's always his heart, like the drawing of us nearer to him. And I love that in the comments. So many of the comments talked about the honor and what happens when we praise. And yeah, so thank you for the encouragement. And of course, there's about 100 other things. I've got so many comments written here to talk to you about, but we'll have to take that offline. If anyone does have a question or something they want to discuss, we do read all the comments. You can go to the website and use a Connect card if you're someone who's new and would like a pastoral appointment, or if you're someone who would love prayer, we would love to connect with you. Or just put it in the comments below. We read them, and there's a pastoral team that are here to pray with you and stand with you in this time as well. So we better wrap it up there because kids ministry is about to start. But would you pray for us, Pastor Kay, before we finish?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's just been great having time with everyone. A big hello from Zoe as well. She would love to be here if she could be. Yeah, I really want to pray for everyone this morning. And so just take a moment to close your eyes, and if you're with your family, just gather together, because this has been a challenging word this morning. It's hard because I often find myself down paths of my political opinions and down paths of my frustration, and we all need the word of God to bring us back to the center, to bring us back to him, and to bring our focus back to praise. And I know it's a challenge, but these sermons, the Bible, the scriptures, prayer, it helps us refocus. So let's just pray together. Lord, I just pray right now for everyone who's online watching, those who'll watch this later or listen to the podcast later. Thank you for everyone that's with us, whether they're regular attenders or they're just coming in for the first time. We just thank you that they're here this morning because they needed to hear this message. Lord, thank you for that great reminder right in verse 1 of Psalm 33 that it's fitting that the upright praise God. It's fitting. It's expected. It makes sense. It's the right thing that we praise God. Lord, I thank you that this morning can be a great mentality shift, perspective shift, can even shake people out of their depression, frustration, loss of focus, Lord God, that we can return to our eyes on you, Lord God, to praising you, to glorifying you. Thank you that we have a great government in Australia, Lord God. We are some of the freest people, the wealthiest people, the healthiest people that have ever lived in human history, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, the challenge of our leaders that are navigating us through something unknown, Lord, that they've never understood before. We thank you, Lord God, and we do bless them and honor them, Lord God. And we'll do our bit, Lord God, to encourage, Lord God, because that's what the people of God do. And finally, Lord God, as we heard in Psalm 33, a reminder, Lord, that our hope is in you. And right now, if anyone's hope has faded, has drifted, if anyone's trust or faithfulness has gone into something else, or into your own strength, into your horses, so to speak, I just encourage you right now, put your faith back in God. Solidify your faith back into him. Remember, pandemic or not, God will use whatever is going on. It might be a lockdown. It might be a health issue. There might be things going on in your own personal life, your own family, whatever it is. God will always use the difficult things to draw you closer to him. He'll always use the transitory things to bring you back to a place of putting your hope in him. He is alone is trustworthy. He alone is where we can find confidence to navigate this world and to be effective as Christians. And Lord God, we thank you for the higher calling. It's not an easy calling, but it's a higher calling to follow Jesus. It's higher than a debate. It's higher than a government. It's higher than a vaccine. It's higher than an opinion. It's higher than politics. It's higher than money or economies. It's a higher calling to follow you. It often results in us sacrificing. It often results in us letting go. It often results in the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, patience, kindness. Lord God, this is the higher calling of Jesus, to lay down our life, to love our neighbor more than ourselves. This is the higher calling, a challenging calling, but we know that with the power of the Holy Ghost that we can do it. We commit all these things. I commit everyone to you, Lord God, for a great week this week. Whether lockdown finishes or not, it doesn't matter. You are above all, Lord God. You are in all, Lord God, and you're working in all of our hearts to shape us, to form us during these challenging times. In your mighty name, amen.